could save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. You can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at mightyhouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. Of course, you can give us a call on the Mr. Fleur helpline. It's 877-711-5611. And you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Fleur cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFleur.com. You want to talk about?
I have a lot to talk about. So if you guys want to take a little break, sure. A little nap,
go ahead.
Get some breakfast. Okay.
Did you help?
Does this refer back to the previous hour?
It refers back to a lot of stuff. For example, okay. It refers back to the magnetic sign. It was $16 an hour to go solicit kids standing on the corner.
And then you got a bonus?
And then you got a bonus of $1 a kid. And that was 16 years ago.
Oh, okay. So
that's not bad money, actually.
You are. I've never seen you. Would you talk into the mic? What? Are you new at this? Do I have to always teach you these things?
Yeah.
And now people think I'm rude. But that's what he does to me all the time. He pulls down things. So, yeah. So you just drive around the neighborhood, you know, playgrounds and stuff, go up to kids and say, hey, can I have your phone number and address? And I'll pay you. Okay. So there was that. Okay.
Here's some candy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, Robbie's now on a probable cause list.
Yes, she is. Luckily, she lives in a cop neighborhood, so it's probably pretty safe.
Anyway, so the lady who called before the break, she was having an issue with dust in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if she had some air cleaners, mm-hmm. and she said she did, but they weren't doing anything. But I said that you have a really good air cleaner system that you use when you're on jobs, and I couldn't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's called Build Clean.
Build, mm-hmm. B-U-I-L-D, clean.
Correct.
Is this something that you have to rent?
Or you can.
Okay.
Or you can purchase it.
From where?
Build Clean.
Build Clean. Go to buildclean.com. You can buy it directly from them.
So it's not like a big box store item?
Nope. It's not, it's not a store item.
No, because it's too expensive for a box store.
Yeah. This is a huge HEPA filter system, and it's like 2.5 feet round, 3 feet tall. It's a big unit.
And you can rent one from Build Clean?
No. You might be able to get one from a rental facility, though.
Okay. So she was saying about that, and she said she was having a health issue unrelated, and she was in the hospital. And when she was in the hospital, all of her other problems, the dust problems, cleared up because the hospital is so clean. So then we were talking about, you know, what it could be, and she says she's going to recaulk her windows because maybe it's dust coming in.
Nope. So, you want us to tell us?
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
Please do.
It's paper and mold and mites from the paper. It's paper.
It's paper dust.
Because she did say she has paper all over the place.
It's paper dust.
Yeah.
You don't think there's a lot of dust with paper because it's just, but there's fibers, wood fibers that get in the air. And the more paper you have, and the more you're moving that, the more that those wood fibers are getting into the air. And now that if she's got white paper and stuff in there, so that's all bleached, there's chemically treated. So you've got all this paper that's chemically treated that's putting a lot of dust in the air that's irritating her eyes and her lungs.
Mm-hmm. And you hit a key note there because people don't realize it. It's wood fiber.
It's, yeah.
And a lot of species of wood are irritants.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are actually allergic to oak.
Right.
Now, you can have oak trim on your wall and it's fine, but they cannot inhale oak dust.
Right. And, you know, because when I'm doing if we're doing a lot of oak trim and we're doing a lot of cutting, I make sure I put the dust bag on my chop box because that dust starts to irritate my eyes and my nose and start having problems. So And the same thing happens with MDF.
What's MDF?
Medium density fiber. It is just sawdust pressed into boards.
Ugh.
And that stuff irritates my...
So anyway, a build clean scrubber, which is, these are for contractors. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. These are for conscientious contractors who actually care about their clients' homes. They're $1,000.
Yeah.
$1,060 is on their website.
Yep.
And that's just your, let's call it your base unit. But
I think she'd be better off. She'd be better off organizing the papers and cleaning that.
Well, the other thing I said is, do you have a housekeeper? And she said she does. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm going to throw this out there and say she's not doing a very good job.
Needs to do that.
Because I find
it's only if the homeowner allows her to do her job, though, too.
Well, she said, I think that she was surprised. You know, I think she would. I think she would let the housekeeper do her job. But the thing is, and I find this all the time, either A, you have too much clutter and the housekeeper can't get to it, which is a big thing. And I don't mean to bash an industry, but I think this happens with a lot of jobs. So let's say you're there 4 hours a week, whatever it is. You kind of get complacent. You're like, yeah, la-di-da, you know, do my job, get out of here. People tell me this all the time. When they first hire a new company to clean their house or a new person, they are diligent. They get down to the nitty-gritty. They are in the corners.
They get the goop out of the top of the soap bottle.
Yeah, they are doing everything. And then they kind of slack off. And people are like, what's with my cleaning lady? I'm like, how long have you had her? Mm-hmm. You know? So the problem is, if your house is that dusty and you have a housekeeper, clutter,
okay,
they can't work around it.
But here's another thing. How do you dust a house if the house is already bad? I mean, you could have contaminants throughout the HVA system, which your housekeeper is not going to do anything about that. They could be struggling just trying to keep up with the dust blowing out of your system because you don't change filters.
Good point.
There's multiple layers to all this, and I don't disagree. But I think most of it goes back to too much stuff.
Right.
So, like, when you talk about decluttering and, like, making your conscience feel better and, you know, uncomplicating your life, because when you walk in a room that's full of stuff, your brain has to identify each of those things and compartmentize it so it actually stresses you. That's why having a decluttered home is so relaxing.
Oh, it really is. I was in one this week. I'm like... She went from a huge, maybe 4-bedroom home, and now she's in, I call it a 1.5-bedroom overlooking the lake because the second bedroom is really, really teeny.
Mm-hmm.
But you walk in, she's like, yeah, I just got rid of everything. You know, I helped her pack, and I'm like, you really did. It's amazing. You know, it's so light, and you just feel so good walking in. And I go home, and I'm like, I'm just getting rid of everything, just getting rid of everything. But this so she needed me because what they – had like a pantry/closet, you know, mm-hmm. and everything was just kind of put in there and it was all jammed. But once it's organized, you find you have about 25% more space.
So all the labels are facing forward and stacked.
Oh, sort of. But, you know, it's like,
are they all color coordinated from darker reds to the lighter colors?
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. That's how I do all the clothing. All the clothing is color coordinated. First it's short sleeve, then it's no sleeve, short sleeve, long sleeve, sweaters, cardigans in colors. But it was, for example, like I found like Irish Spring soap in like the kitchen pantry. I'm like, where
the
do you use
this? The green or
blue? The green. Ooh. Where do you use this? In the bathroom.
I like the green. I don't like the blue.
Yeah, the green smells better.
You use this in the bathroom, so thus... It needs to go under the bathroom sink. You know, you find things and it's like, where is this? It goes here. So back to this lady's thing. Yes, unclutter. Yes, try an air cleaner. Yes, clean your air filters and have somebody dust.
The indoor air quality is a big issue. And it may be it's if you have a forced air system, make sure the filters are changed. And then you might actually have to have the ductwork cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, but see, now that's scary. My father-in-law called me a couple of weeks ago, and he says, I've been in my house 17 years. Should I have my ductwork cleaned? No.
Yeah.
You do not have ductwork. You have flexible ductwork.
Oh.
It's all, you know what I mean? It's all spiralkeets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, if you try to clean that, they're going to start cutting holes in it, messing it up. I go, do, and it's all inaccessible.
Right.
Like, and the people who charge $39.95 are probably not cleaning your ducts.
All they do is take out the register, they vacuum right there where you can see, and they put it back down, and they're gone in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that clean it properly will be there all day, 4 or 5 hours a day, something like that, to really do it.
Yes.
We have 60 seconds, so I'm going to say in the next minute, 877-711-5611, what do I hate about socks when I'm in a home?
Yeah.
Not my own socks. Yeah. Of course, never my own socks.
And what was the answer already that was disqualified? Mismatched socks?
And
that's not it, right?
No. And then people walking outside in socks.
Oh.
So we're going to take a break. I'm going to wash some grapes.
Okay.
When I used to wear socks.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back?
And I'll tell you what I don't like about it.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more right after this. You're listening to...
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Stuff.
They'll hang you up, dealing with too much stuff. Hanging out on the couch, putting on the pounds. Better walk, run, jump, swim, try to hold it down. Eating too much stuff. Too much stuff. It'll wear you down, carrying around too much stuff.
$100 cab ride, falls in, can't fly, Greyhound, Amtrak, all the ball, Cadillac, too much stuff. Too much stuff. It'll slow you down with too much stuff. But it's way too much. You never gonna get enough. You can pile it high, but you'll never be satisfied.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House on the Improvement Show. Give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. 877-711-5611. And you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at
MrFloor.com.
Just my luck, counting on too much stuff. That seems to be the theme so far this hour. It's just too much stuff. Okay, so you have... sock issues and that you wanted to discuss.
Yes. Pet peeve. Rich, what is my pet peeve?
I have no idea.
The way they're folded or that they're not stored properly, folded and stored properly like in a
footlocker. I only have one issue with one type of sock. My wife bought me some socks and they literally have a left and a right marked on the top of them.
Oh, that's...
It's got an L and an R. So, you know, you get up, it's dark out, you slip your socks on, and, you know, you go to somebody's house to do walkthrough, take your shoes off, and you look like a moron because your socks are on the wrong feet. And it doesn't make a difference. It's not like a shoe that doesn't fit. It's a sock.
Right. You've got that clip,
it's just
Randall. You've got that
stupid.
Clip.
Hi, Haynes.
There's Mr. Haynes right there.
Yeah, see? I got a tattoo on my forehead.
It's so awesome. Please, people, watch us on Mighty House Radio Show on Facebook. It's funny stuff. Rich has a sock puppet.
And I really thought that she was going to be all about socks today, so she really is a lot more laid back on socks. We still don't even know what the pet peeve is.
Okay, right. How do you take your socks off?
One at a time?
Yeah. You sit down first. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I don't always
grab it by the top. Here, that's how you take the puppet off, like that.
Yeah.
Go down it, rip that baby off. And then
okay, show me the puppet.
It's not inside out.
Okay.
It's not inside out.
That's my pet peeve.
Inside out socks?
Because... And this happened to me again this week.
Do you use them twice that way? You turn them inside out, you use them again.
Because they're inside out, people put them in the wash, right?
Right.
Then they come out of the wash, and then if I'm matching up socks... So I'm going to fold them all right side out, right?
Yeah.
So you have either stinky boys or stinky men.
Uh-huh.
Stinky boys or stinky men.
So what's the problem?
And they run around in their shoeless feet with socks on. Uh-huh. They go outside. They go into the dirt. They go in the sand, whatever. I put my hand in there to turn them right side out. What does the washing machine do? It just collects all that junk in there. So I put my hand in to...
And you pull mud out.
mud and gunk and whatever's gum, whatever is on the little boy's or the man's sock. It's disgusting, Roseanne Adana. It's disgusting. So please, people, turn your sock right side up, because a washing machine is not going to wash the inside of
sure
your sock
it does.
When it's no.
Oh wait,
it goes
it depends. Now if you're wearing your sock in your work boot and your feet sweat, all the stink is on the inside of the sock.
Right.
So washing it inside out is logical. Now if you're walking around in your socks and your bottom of your socks are dirty, then you must wash them with the outside out, because that's where your dirt is.
But it's going to wash. It's a piece of fabric. Water goes through it.
Exactly. So water's going to through it. So if your foot is sweaty, water's going to go through it. But all the gunk.
But only if it's got like chunks on the inside. It wouldn't matter.
Oh, if you got chunks, you should go see a podiatrist. Just saying.
It's not going to. So if you, you know.
Rick stayed at a Holiday Inn last night, too.
Again, it's only men's or stinky boy socks.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they're walking in. They're walking in sand. They're walking in mud. But I can't tell you how gross it is to put your hand in. Uh-huh. And then it's like, you know how socks kind of get crusty sometimes?
No. What
yeah,
are you talking
sometimes
about?
They'll get crusted with little boy junk. Or I don't even know.
And Randall.
And it comes Randall. Out. You know what I mean, Andrew, right? You know what I mean, right? You take your sock off. It's inside out. Whatever you walked in. So you walk barefoot. You don't have slippers on. Whatever you're walking in.
Fresh meat. Don't agree with her.
He does agree.
You're just sucking
up. It's true. And then when you put your sock right side, and it falls to the ground. You're like, oh, look at this clean sock. And gunk is falling. Please,
Robbie,
people.
Maybe you need to have a talk after the show.
It's not me. It's clients. You know who it is? It's stinky men and stinky boy men. Stinky men and boy men. You don't see women's socks. First of all, women's socks are always the right side they're supposed to be. People, turn your socks. Don't put your socks in the laundry inside out.
Okay,
they're not getting clean.
So what I do, I take them off. They're the correct, but then I fold them so they stay together, and then I put them in. You know
what is wrong with you?
And then that way, they're the pair is now in the laundry basket.
So the pair will still be in the laundry basket.
And then when you take it out and put it in the washer, you undo it and throw it in there. So now they're
well. Paired. That's how you lose one. I would just leave them together the whole
leave
time.
Leave them paired in the washer, and it takes longer for them to dry that way, though.
If you're putting the pair in the basket together, they're going to stay in the basket together, and
correct.
They're going to go in the washing machine together.
No, because then when
disagree,
you take them out, you
take everybody's them always losing a sock, and nobody knows where it goes.
Yep.
Okay.
So I keep them paired in there, so that way when they go in the washing machine, then they...
Right.
Okay, if you're going to be that anal about it, safety pin them together, then they'll stay together the whole time.
Yeah, but the pins will get rusty. You'd have to buy stainless steel ones. They're expensive. It's just quicker just to fold them and put them in there. Because then where are you going to keep the safety pins?
In your sock drawer?
No. I'm not at the sock drawer when I'm taking my socks off. I'm in the closet, you know, throwing them into the laundry basket.
Wherever you are. You can even buy little plastic things that keep them together.
No, don't
really.
That.
That's your problem.
No, it's not my problem. I'm just, you asked how I deal. That's how I deal with it.
Oh my gosh. So
aren't you sorry you asked?
You've never lost a sock?
No, rarely. Hey, Nick, you're on Mighty House.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
You're still listening. That's the amazing thing.
I'm still listening, and thanks for the disclaimer. I love that I had to get a disclaimer. So the turning the socks, I think maybe, how about Robbie, unbunching the socks so that if they're turned inside out, or right side out, that doesn't matter, but it's when they're bunched up, because I do a lot of the laundry around here, and my son does that, where he leaves his socks bunched up, and that's where they collect. If they're at least opened up, and they don't,
they'll flush out.
Well, still, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, because, you know, like, well, especially if you, like, step in a chunk of poop or something like that, and it gets stuck to the sock, you want to make sure that gets...
But. Exactly. And then my hand is in there. Granted, it's going to be clean poop. But if little boy socks, you know how the top is like tight? What is that? You know?
Oh, the elastic.
Yeah, the elastic. So if it's tight, even if it's unbunched, if it's kind of a tight sock for a little kid sock, all the gunk isn't going to wash through that.
Yeah, you know, the sock should just look like, the sock should look like a sock. It shouldn't look like a wad.
Right,
it should be stretched out from toe to heel to ankle or whatever.
And
it should just look
right
like
side and right side out.
Inside out is okay though. Inside out, is
no, because it's
there
still
are some garments.
It'll wash
there's
through
some garments. Clothes that you should wash inside out.
Right.
You know, like if you have like a t-shirt with like the painting on it or whatever, that should be washed inside out.
They say blue jeans should be washed inside out too.
Really?
Yeah, because there will be less fading.
Who's they?
And make sure you zip the zipper and button the button before you wash them. Or
why don't you tell us what to do with women's, what do you do with women's lingerie?
See, but I wipe my hands on my pants.
I hang them up. I don't put them in the dryer. Wash them on gentle.
But do you snap them closed or hook them closed?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I might start doing that.
Yeah, you're going to have to. You hook them closed so that the hooks don't catch on the socks or the nylons or the other things and cause
snags. Nylons?
Whatever.
I like that. We can hang out forever.
Yeah, you have to hook. So when you put them in, hook them closed.
Ugh.
And you already know not to put women's lingerie in the dryer. You already know that because the elastic will stretch out.
No, see, everything comes out of the laundry.
That's probably the problem. That's not. I got $20 that says it's not the dryer that's stretching out my elastic.
Can we not go there? I'm not sure where you're trying to go.
That last cheeseburger, that's what did
that
it.
Might be what's doing.
I don't know.
This.
He's talking about stretching out his underwear. I wasn't sure where
the,
he was going.
The elastic band around the underwear because an extra cheese. But never mind.
Yeah.
Did you just give us the 2 minutes there, Randall?
Please.
All right. Hey, buddy, we got to take a break. I appreciate the poo drop reference.
Thank you.
Too.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Chunks and socks. It's just so gross.
Are we done with sock talk now?
Yes.
We are? Okay.
I do have another topic for after the break.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
We wonder why we don't get paid.
LED.
Yeah, LED lights?
Mm-hmm.
LED lights.
So that's LED lights are coming up next. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we got phone calls, too. So
okay.
What depends?
Now I have a taste for a cheeseburger.
See?
Don't
see?
We
how
all?
About a nice Portillo's double bacon cheeseburger?
I have not had a cheeseburger. I would be, no exaggeration, I'll bet it's been at least a year.
Really?
Have you had a hamburger?
Are you sick?
No.
What's wrong, man?
No, I just don't have a taste for them. I've been eating.
Really?
Because you're not at Portillo's.
You're not eating healthy.
I've been eating sliced meats. Processed sliced meats. I don't know. Just sandwiches, lighter.
Sandwiches?
Because they don't have good hamburger places.
Big honking
there.
Burger?
Yeah.
Are we on break yet?
No.
Because
it's hot down there. That's probably why. So you don't eat
I think
heavy.
It has a lot to do with it.
Because
it's
hot.
It does.
Okay. All right. Trixie's saying we got phone calls to get to after the break, too. So
awesome.
We'll take care of that and more right after
and
this.
More.
You're listening to
Mighty House.
Okay, now don't say anything because Randall gets really upset.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Randall. You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that stud finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 877-711-5611 and get advice from the experts themselves.
This is Mighty House.
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. That number again, 877-711-5611. And you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And if somebody wanted to get the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
Well, surely not the first time I said it, but go to MightyHouse.net, click on the contact page, just enter your first, last name, your email address, click on submit, and you'll get notified every Friday what's going to be on the show. Links, most importantly, links to everything we talk about.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to play dumb and have Randall explain to me what he was trying to explain.
Well, it's time for phone calls now, isn't it, Randall?
Because I want to hear.
Who's online too?
I want to hear how he's going to explain this to me.
No. I'm sorry, Ed in Beach Park? Hey, Ed, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, no problem at all. Hey, I know you guys always say not to use a power washer to clean your deck. That's the bad thing to do.
Correct.
What should I use?
Well, you can turn the power washer on really light and do that. That works pretty good. There's also like deck brighteners that you can spray on there and then just hose it off. Is it's a wood decking or is it a composite deck?
Well, it's like 98% wood decking, and they put a new rail on top before we bought it, which is that composite decking.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead, Rich.
I still think like Simple Green and all those are your better bet because they'll loosen dirt. You can just scrub them down with a broom and rinse them with a garden hose. The reason we don't like the pressure washer is because it lifts the wood fiber, so it starts opening up the pores and tearing up the wood. And then anything right. other than stuff like Simple Green, you know, some of the deck brights in it, they're bleach based. So that stuff it's just not good for the ground and the environment around your house.
Yep. Okay. There's a couple of them. There might even be like, you could do a quick search and find an environmentally friendly deck brightener, but if it's pressure treated lumber,
the citrus cleaners will work just as well.
Yeah. If it's a pressure treated lumber, it's going to be able to take a power washer a little bit better than a cedar or a redwood deck. Those you have to be really, really careful. So,
the biggest pressure treated.
Yeah. So that's going to be a little more forgiving. So you could just put a light tip in the pressure washer and turn it down and give that a try. Mm-hmm. And as you go, if you hit a soft spot though, you'll blow the thing apart and then you got splinters and you have to always be wearing shoes there. So that's the concern with it.
So I'm probably going to go Simple Green and scrub it down and rinse it off. And what do I seal it with afterwards? What's a good? I mean, I hear there's a couple different like water sealers. What should I use after I get it all cleaned up and ready to go?
That's actually always a good one. Like obviously, you've got a treated deck. The color is going to be an issue, so I would suggest a good Cabot stain or something like that. Just use a transparent or a solid stain if you really want to change the color. But steer clear of some of the other, I don't know, name brand deck sealers, because they actually are full, they have wax in them, and what it does is it kind of waterproofs it, but it'll start peeling after a while and it just becomes an annoyance.
Yes. It doesn't start with a T, does it, Rich?
Yes, it does. And ends with a Omson. But yeah, watch those deck sealers that contain wax. Just, you know what I mean? You want something that's preferably oil-based so that it can, you know, and you want to do it on a day where it's cool enough where it can actually soak into the wood.
Yeah.
But trying to find stuff that's oil-based now is more difficult. I mean, as I say, you're always better off going to a Sherwin-Williams or a Benjamin Moore. Go into the store, talk to the guy at the counter, tell him what you're looking to do, and they will typically steer you in the right direction.
Right, and you're on Beach Park? Is that where you were, Ed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you can just head north, go across
the lake.
Yeah, head north, go across the border, and you'll be able to get all the oil stains you want. Here in Illinois, they're not allowed to be sold. But
sweet.
So just head north, you know, go over the border over by there, and then they'll be able to sell you all the oil-based products you need to be able to get it done right. And Sickens is also a really good one.
That was the other one, yeah.
Cabot's is one we use a lot. And
Sickens is really good.
Yeah, it's a little more expensive, but I think it's a better bonding product.
Well, how often do you want to do it?
It depends on the...
As little often as possible.
Yeah, so if it's a solid base stain where it's a solid color, those are going to last longer than something that's a clear stain. The clear stain, you'll probably be doing it every 2-3 years. So,
but that was kind of my point. If you buy a better product, you don't have to do it. But every 2 to 3 or 3 to 5 years.
Right.
But if you buy cheap stuff,
that starts with
your annual project.
That starts with a T? Yeah.
So what,
yeah.
I'm sorry, one last question.
Sure.
I can actually get under this deck. It's right above like a walkout.
Uh-huh.
And I can get, should I clean the underside as well and stain that too or no?
That would be mostly for cosmetic reasons. The fact that it's open underneath, it dries out, it's not going to rot or really go bad. You just don't like the look of it, I would spray it or whatever and, you know, make it look nicer, but it's not a necessity.
It's not, you know, if you hit that with the washer real quick, and then if you put your stain in a pump sprayer, then you could just go underneath there and spray that all down. I would do the underside first and then have somebody on top to watch, because if you get any buildup on it where it's blowing through, then that could settle on the top and you're going to have really uneven colors and uneven surfaces there, you know, from drips and stuff. So you'd have to really be careful about doing that if you're going to spray it from the bottom.
Okay, I could just roll it from the bottom too and make it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, yeah if you want to work, buddy, go for it.
Yeah, well.
I know. Brushes and rollers still work better than sprayers. Out,
you know?
Yep. So, or, what'd you say, Ed?
It's an older deck. We just bought the house. The deck's probably about 30 years old, give or take. And it's just, it needs some love.
It needs some attention.
Yeah, just some rejuvenating.
Yep. No, that's good.
Exactly.
That should be fine. And like Rich was saying, too, the rollers and the brushes, you apply more on it, it soaks in better. But a lot of people just put in a sprayer and spray it, too. So.
Well, they like the speed of the sprayer.
Right. Yeah, and if you're spraying the underside, that's why I was saying spray it, because it's just underside. You just want to hit it with a quick coat. But to you. More power to you. Go for it.
He's got a walkout, so he's trying.
Yeah.
All right, Ed.
Cool.
Have fun with that one, because that's a real project. Make sure after you wash it, you let that dry really well.
A couple days.
Before you stain it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know. Cool. Thanks for the advice, guys.
Thanks. Talk to you. Bye.
All right.
Yeah, decking right now, and right now is a good time of year to be doing this. It's a little bit cooler. When you put the stains on there, you want them to sit there. You don't want them to dry really fast. So the more they sit on the wood, the better they soak in, and you get a better bonding process with the stains and the wood, because it can soak in, and over time it bonds in a little bit better versus putting it on when it's 90 degrees out. And it just flash dries, and it's sitting on top of it then. You know, it never has a chance to bond with the wood and soak into the wood. So, I mean, that makes a big difference. When it's 60 degrees out, that's perfect.
I was touching up some paint on an outdoor porch that a wood, and I did it maybe like 7 o'clock at night, and the next morning it was still wet. Is it because?
The humidity outside, probably.
So that'll eventually dry, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but if it's really humid out, it just won't dry. And again, it's the heat, humidity, just, you know, it's got to have somewhere to dry to. And if the outside, you know, humidity is the same as the paint, the water can't evaporate.
Right.
And you did it at night, so the dew point was probably pretty high.
Mm. Yeah.
So we got lucky. We did our fascias a couple of weeks ago, and it was overcast. Not too hot, not too cool. I mean, we couldn't have got any luckier doing it when we did, but it dried nice and slow, where I was really concerned that it would dry as soon as we got it on the wood and never get a chance to adhere.
Right.
So it should last a long time now.
Yeah. You know, that's good. And they used to have a product, too, that would make it dry even slower. I can't remember what that product was called. You know what I'm talking about, too. It was a paint additive you put in there to slow the drying process.
What's raining?
Floetrol, I think is what it was. Because that would make, it would also make the oil-based paints lay down better in the stains.
That's not the one I was thinking of. I thought it was naphtha.
Oh, naphtha. Okay. You could put naphtha in it. Sure. There was actual.
But I think that's oil-based paint only, obviously.
Right.
If it's water-based, can you put water in it?
No, that's not the same kind of thing. But I think Floetrol has a latex base additive also that you can put in there to slow the drying process down.
That's what I love about living in Florida. It's absolutely blue sky and it's raining.
Nice.
I don't know from where.
Uh-huh. You've got one cloud out there somewhere
that's
blowing through.
And the neighbors are getting their tile roof installed. So the guys up on the roof have got to be loving this right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? They're cooking up there.
Oh, sure.
Anyway. Sure.
It's a tile roof, but the clay color, right? It's the red?
Yeah, we do flat tile. Well, they're different colors. So they're concrete. So he got brown.
Oh, he got brown.
But he got rid of the barrel tiles. He went to flat. Flat is so much nicer looking.
Really?
And much easier to install.
Oh, yeah, that I believe. How's much that handle easier. Snow?
Don't know. I'm sure it'd be... Actually, I'm not sure the tile roof would work in Chicago so well, because you would think you get any more... Because they get water underneath them. They're not watertight.
Sure.
So in the fall, if that freezes, your tile would just...
Be coming down.
Apart, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Not, I would think. I'm just...
Not much different, I guess, than having a slate roof, though. Because slate...
I don't know if the slate sit tighter.
But water still get underneath their freeze, and although I guess it would flex, because it's not getting nailed tight. You're going to leave a little bit of... movement under the top, you know, just like the slate. You don't nail it down tight, you just nail to it.
Yeah.
And then that way that slate can move up and down a little bit.
Right.
And have some flexibility. Huh. I don't know.
I don't know.
We need to do some investigative work now. We have found something to investigate.
Right.
Are you good there, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to talk about LED LEDs.
Oh, LED lights?
Oh, that's right.
That's okay.
But we only have like 20 seconds left.
Sure. So what's the question? Get the question out and we'll answer it after the break, because this is it. The show's over. We've got like
We got one segment left.
Fixtures that are specific for LED lights and not specific, and what's the difference? And I was reading about it and it got very confusing.
Okay. So,
all right, well, when we get back.
We'll ask that question then when we come back. All right.
Perfect.
All right, cool. All right, we'll be back right after this. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on it.
This is Mighty House.
Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Patreon also. That's Patreon. And it's patreon.com/MightyHouse. And we're running a contest on there that if you join up, support the show for $1 a month, you will be entered into the Klein Tools drawing and have a chance to win those Klein Tools. And I would say, since this is our first month, this is the time to get in, because you got a really good chance of winning.
Well, right now we have 5 patrons, which means you have a 20% chance of winning.
Yes. Well, and the longer you wait, the more people that sign on, then your chances keep slowly going down and down and down. So,
that's right.
And we're giving away a pair of Klein Tools hybrid pliers. It's lineman's pliers. It's strippers that does... 14,
strippers.
12. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You had me.
Wire strippers for number 14, 12, and 10. And then it also has the cutters in there. And then on the backside, the crimping tool. Great tools. You can carry that one, and you got 3 tools that you're missing. You don't need to have in your pouch or your back pocket, however you tend to do your electrical work. So, again, patreon.com/mightyhouse, and just enter in the... For $1, you can enter in and be entered for that Klein Tools Hybrid Pliers contest. So, all right. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
Oh, I'd just go over to MightyHouse.net, to the contact page, and put in your first, last name, and your email address. Click on submit, and you kind of have an idea of what our kind of plan was going to be for Saturday. I'm not saying that's how it's going to go down.
Right. But that's it. Everyday mistakes are made by untrained employees and unlicensed contractors who take advantage of homeowners who are looking for a good deal and to save a few bucks. Roofers and Waterproofers Local 11 contractors put their customers first by employing men and women who go through extensive hands-on classroom and on-the-job training. The difference between a union contractor and a non-union contractor is the fact that the union contractor is a contributing contractor, which means the union contractor invests in employees, training, family health care, retirement, and professional standing in the industry. So if you're looking for a contractor, choose union labor and be a part of the solution. Visit rooferslocal11.org for more information.
.org.
There you go. Okay, now we're back on. So you had LED lights. You had a question about that?
Yes, I had a question about LED lights, because I have a client who has lots and lots of light bulbs, and she told me to pack them all up for her move.
Right.
But I talked to Ron, who knows these things, and he says, well, we're not going to be able to use them, or this homeowner won't be able to use them, because they're getting LED fixtures.
Right.
So I started looking things up. And one thing that I'm reading on a website from Money Magazine, Screwin' LEDs require no retrofitting into existing sockets because they contain not just the light-emitting
diode,
but also the electronic driver that makes it work in a special LED fixture. By contrast, the driver is in the light fixture and the bulb contains only the diode. Mind confused. So I'm so confused. So you need special fixtures for LED. You can use LED lights in old fixtures, but you're not getting this. And if you buy this and...
Okay, so...
Please explain.
Simply?
Yes.
If you buy an LED fixture, the bulbs are included. You're done. You don't have to worry about it. You install the fixture. Bulbs are there. Boom, done. The only thing you got to worry about is it a dimmable LED or non-dimmable? And do you want a dimmable, you know, fixture for that? If you do, you're probably going to have to replace your dimmer also on the wall if you put in an LED light fixture. So now the other is a retrofit. We take out these light bulbs that are here and we put in an LED light bulb. So we're retrofitting.
Those are the squiggly ones.
No, the squiggly ones are the CFLs. They are compact fluorescents. That's the squiggly ones.
Oh.
So the LED ones are generally either it looks like a regular light bulb or it's like in, for a recessed light fixture. You take down the old trim, you take out the bulb, you screw in the new LED with the trim and you snap it all into place. Boom, done. It's all clean, brand new, and you never change them again.
So let's say I have a floor lamp here.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be an LED floor lamp?
Yes.
Okay.
You can buy a regular bulb and put it in there, or you can buy an LED bulb and put it in there.
So it's not an LED floor lamp.
Correct. It's just the LED bulb that goes in the floor lamp.
Okay. So in most cases.
Right.
So right.
When somebody says all the fixtures in the house are going to be LED,
mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That means they're updating the fixtures.
Every mm-hmm. fixture in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like recessed lighting, all those would get changed out to LEDs.
Yeah.
So you're not.
Yeah, and they make retrofits for old cans where you would actually, that's the Edison base bulb is normally what you have in there. So the LED will literally have either a pigtail that goes in there and then you snap in the thing, or you could put an LED spotlight bulb or, you know, PAR 30 style of bulb.
The whole idea is that if you.
Now, have you seen the surface mounted ones now that are out?
Yeah, the wafers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those. That's all I've been installing.
Talk about not having holes in your building. But would you send me some more info? Because I've been trying to do a little research. Send me what you're putting in.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's the next step because I'm trying not to put holes in my building envelope.
Yeah. No, the wafer cans, it looks like a can light from down below, but it's only a half inch thick.
Right.
And then the wire and the driver goes up in the attic or in the
send me what you're using so I can research, please.
Yeah, it's Lithonia.
Send it to me.
Lithonia.
Yeah, I know. And I have their catalog in my office that's 88,000 pages.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyway, when you're buying a new house, if you got high ceilings or something like that, you want to change
low floors?
Low floors.
You could be a realtor.
Yes, I can. All right, so you change all those bulbs out when you're moving in. You just put LEDs in. That way you don't have to worry about it. So
you
now
put
if you
put an LED in light bulbs or you put in an LED fixture?
Yes. So if we're changing out fixtures, we're going to put in an LED fixture.
Okay.
If we're just changing out the light bulbs, we're going to swap those out and put in LED bulbs outside.
And designer fixtures, they're way behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our designers spec out all the big fixtures, and it is so hard to find decorative LED.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying that the bulbs are only going to last a couple of years, but it's the fixture with the bulb that's the one that's going to last.
You should try
it's the fixture with the bulb that's going to last forever.
Yes.
If you just put the LED bulb in.
No, that's
fine. They still last. The bulb will still last.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when somebody says pack up all the light bulbs, so what if
it's a waste of time?
What if it's a light bulb that goes into like a floor lamp or something? You still only want the LED light bulbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a reason all those.
Again,
bulbs are there.
And now we're hitting the end of the show, but the thing here is we got to talk about color of light again.
Yes. Real quick, Rich, hit it.
2700 Kelvin is your warm light. That's what you're used to seeing. Most LEDs at 5,000 to 6,000 Kelvin is daylight. It's too bright for most people.
Too blue.
So look at the numbers. 27 to 3,000 is what you're looking for.
Yeah, no, unless you like that white or bright light, blue light. So,
which I do.
Yeah. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeApprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. Again, you can join us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Mighty House. And for $1 a month, you'll be entered into a chance to win some Klein tools. And this month is the hybrid pliers. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. And somebody wanted a newsletter, Rich. How can they do that?
Again, mightyhouse.net. Contact page, first, last name, email. Click on submit.
Boom, done. Boom,
done. That's
follow
it.
Us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. I want to say thanks to Jesse Beyer from Guaranteed Rate, and you can find him at Jesse Beyer Guaranteed Rate. Just Google that, and he'll take care of all your mortgage needs.
Yeah, good luck with that. He's got an unusually spelled last name.
Yeah,
so.
B-Y-R-E-R. And next week, we're going to talk to John Daniels from Smart 265. We're going to have them on. And
awesome.
All right, with that, thanks for everybody that stopped in and spent a little bit of time with us today. For Rich Cowgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until
next
Saturday! Thank you.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production.
Mighty House.